This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run. Thanks for joining us, Julian, Lynn and Sharaz, here with you. We're looking into the day's biggest discussions, and Malaysia is on the verge of being removed from the World Government Bond Index over concerns about market liquidity. Local government bonds may face a potential rating downgrade and raising the risk of capital flight and also increasing headwinds on the ringgit. The FTSE Russell has placed Malaysia on its fixed income watch list for at least 6 months.
Yes, so and this is following the completion of its first fixed income country classification review. Now, the FTSE Russell said that Malaysia is being considered for a potential downgrade to a 1, which would render the country ineligible for inclusion in the WGBI. So we currently have a 2. The FTSE's move to review Malaysia's government bonds participation in the WGBI came a week after, if you remember, Norway's $1 trillion US dollar sovereign wealth fund was told to cut emerging market government and corporate bonds, which includes Malaysia.
Yes, at the same time, this decision to add Malaysia on the watch list is raising some concerns. FTSE stressed that it was, you know, it's important to highlight that it was not a guarantee for of future action. So Malaysia could continue to remain on the index and avoid a downgrade if we fulfill the WGBI eligibility criteria at the upcoming review in September 2019. Looking at Morgan Stanley, they've said they too have chimed in and saying that they estimate Malaysia withdrawal from the FTSE World Government Bond Index may lead to outflow of about almost $8 billion based on Malaysia's current weighting of 0.39%.
So the question here is whether this is serious and will this choke off the government's ability to get funding? As we know, foreign investors have been gradually reducing the holdings of Malaysian government bonds since 2016, and they are currently holding about US $37 billion as of March. In one research note, Citi has noted that there was a chance Malaysia will remain in watch list for more than 6 months than initially expected. Some of the assets that are being tracked are very passive, hence highly unlikely for these funds to pull out.
I think we also had news recently that our purchasing managers index hit a 3-month low. So that was I think a 47.2 in March of this year. So that signaled a worsening of business conditions here as well. In contrast to our ASEAN neighbours, there's also been some reports out of, for example, Samsung Asset Management Co. That said Malaysian stocks may continue to disappoint until 2020, and this is despite a rally in global equity spurred by the Federal Reserve's dovish pivot, as well as potential trade deals between the US and China. Now, the KLCI is the worst major market in the world so far, down 14% from a record in May 2018. And this is according to Samsung Asset Co, because since the new government came into power in May, it has been lowering public debt with fiscal tightening, and this will be the theme until May 2020.
Yeah, so at the same time, in relation to that, Bloomberg report saying that the euphoria about Malaysian stock at the same time has sort of faded, and this is as a result of after the Pakatan Harapan surprise victory in May, the new administration has been struggling to sort of keep up, clean up the previous government's inefficiency and corruption. And there's also the case of the unfulfilled campaign promises, partly due to the legacy that they've inherited, as well as last month lowered 2019 economic growth forecast, which has been on an austerity drive, to rein its our budget deficit.
I'm really surprised by all these headlines because I understand that markets go up and markets go down. So this is just another day in the stock markets. And all these reasons that are being cited by regional fund managers are just stories, right? They're stories to hindsight stories to explain what has happened. But the market, stock market especially, is always a forward-looking instrument. And so some of these headwinds, like for example, the ringgit is often cited. Yeah, the ringgit has weakened since its high of 380 in March last year, just before the general election. And since the general election has weakened to the 410, 420 kind of level, this is nowhere near the weakness of 2017, which crept
445-ish.
Yeah, crept closer to 445. And at that time, it was more worrying. And I guess at that time, that was the peak of the 1MDB controversy as well. So things seem relatively better than before today. If there were smart investors out there, they would probably take opportunity here right now, looking at valuations and looking at opportunities. I'm sure there are many. But the bond situation is a lot more worrying because the foreign ownership of MGS, or Malaysian Government Securities, 52% at its peak in October 2016. I don't know where they are right now. Very much lower, I suppose. And the question is, you know, this government of ours, they are in need of a lot of funding, and bonds are one of those very important funding sources.
Yes, so even amongst the research houses, Julian, I think it's not quite all doom and gloom. There is Bharat Joshi, who's a Jakarta-based fund manager at Aberdeen Standard Investments. Now, he's neutral on Malaysian stocks and sees green shoots, particularly in infrastructure and oil-related stocks. So he says that construction shares and oil and gas stocks will outperform the market following the resumption of talks on projects, including the East Coast Rail Link, as well as a rebound in commodity prices.
Yeah, at the same time, it was interesting. I mean, this is quite surprising because it's just over a week ago when, you know, there were news reporting that, you know, we had a net inflow in our capital market. For example, Malaysia Capital Market, they've registered about, you know, for two consecutive months of net inflow of foreign funds with a net gain of 3.8 billion in the first quarter of 2019, which is driven by foreign debt holdings in March.
Yeah, I think that credit needs to be due where it is due because the government needs to focus on longer term items on the agenda to bring our nation forward. And some of these involve renegotiations of some of those big contracts like the ECRL, controversial as it may be. Some very big concessions have been wrangled out of the Chinese side. And they might need to focus on these long-term items, which may not be very pleasant to the very short-term driven investors of the stock market. For example, this is another thing that should be on the government's agenda. For example, the MIER, or the Malaysian Institute of Economic Research, says that the government should focus on raising civil servant salaries to boost domestic aggregate demand instead of being fixated on price levels when it comes to addressing the high cost of living. Now, with this kind of news, you know, you can take it either way. If you're a foreigner bent on being critical on the country, right, because you're a short-term investor, you're going to say, hey, this is going to throw the country's finances out of whack because you're raising civil servant salary, and therefore I'm going to put you on a negative watch for the country.
Yes. Now the MIER, if we take a look at what they've been saying as well, the MIER suggestion is that the government transforms subsidies into salaries, so changing subsidies into a real increase in wages. So if Malaysia increases the salaries of the public sector, then the private sector will have to improve. Now they've said that previously we were afraid to increase salaries because prices would go up, but an increase in prices would stimulate effective demand because it gives people an incentive to work.
Yeah. So at the same time, I think MIER is also saying that, you know, it's time to transform the work structure that we have, which is to, you know, not focus on labor, but also moving on to technology to increase productivity, where what they're saying is that manufacturers and businesses should remove obsolete technology, you know, an outcome which usually comes hand in hand with higher wages. And if you increase income, it, you know, there's possibility that it will force manufacturer to be more capital extensive. And this, you know, it would mean that they won't be able to use many unskilled workers anymore because each person, you know, each workers that you have are, you know, highly paid.
So moving away from the stock market discussions as to what as a guiding factor of what you should or you shouldn't do, I mean, the stock market prices, whether it's up or down, should not be guiding you on policy. So now it's time to be critical about this suggestion, right? There has been a lot said about the civil service and how they are a financial burden to the nation's fiscal position. Should MIER's suggestion be taken to increase civil service salary as a lead for private sector to follow suit?
I think almost immediately the immediate response will be that employers aren't going to be very happy about this, but it's also going to increase government spending because we have, I don't remember how many civil servants we have right now.
I think we are spending about 8 billion ringgit a year on civil servant salaries. And if you could recall, Lim Guan Eng previously, he did announce that there were about 450 million ringgit left in the bank. But even despite all that, they were still able to maintain that salary of 8 billion ringgit a year.
Just to expand that number, the budget is 300 billion ringgit thereabout, and 80% on that is for operations, right?
Yeah.
And 20% for development. We know that ratio quite well, 80-20. So apart from the 8 billion, 80% of the budget is spent on the operations of running the government, and that's quite a lot.
Yeah, so that brings into that question, right, whether or not it is... Is the time right for us to speak about increasing the salary of government servant?
Yes. Now, the MIER has noted, though, that increases in wages are not an overnight goal. So they're saying that one of the ways to increase productivity is, of course, to see an income increase. Then if prices increase a little bit, it doesn't really matter. But the thing is, now we're very sensitive to price increases because income is too low. So this is the solution that they're seeing to address our price sensitivity. They're also saying that if you increase income, it forces manufacturers to be more capital intensive.
And I think also looking at the headlines, which is to turn subsidies into salary, it also implies that the government is actually not increasing expenditure. It's the same expenditure, but what you have spent mm-hmm. on subsidies, turn that into salaries, like just channel and shift that to salaries. I think that might not be a bad idea because the household is a very good manager of their own money. They know how to allocate resources themselves. And we have a poll that's going on on Twitter, our Twitter, at BFM Radio. Should the government implement this suggestion from MIER? Yes, no, I don't know. It's not that simple. What are your answers, guys?
I would say no.
You would say no. Don't transform subsidies into salaries.
It has to be targeted, at least for me.
I err on the side of yes. Maybe not immediately, but I think eventually this is something to strive for. But particularly because if the government is trying to incite the private sector to raise salaries, they've got to get their own house in order first. So if civil servants are not being paid practically a living wage, for example, how then do you instruct the private sector to do so? So I think ultimately, yes, they should do this.
Yeah, I'm erring on the side of yes as well. But before that, what's your reason, Sharitz?
Well,
no?
The effort has always been on the B40 group. I still think that because when you talk about civil servant, I mean, there are those who don't fall under the category of B40.
So most of them do, right? Civil servants?
No, I wouldn't. I think I would disagree with that. I mean, and maybe, but again, if they are those groups, B40 groups who are within the civil servant, they too should be targeted. So subsidy should be targeted towards B40 rather than, just a broad stroke of the civil servant.
So not the directors and the pengarahs and
exactly.
and the assistants to ministers and so on. So very targeted. So yours is probably is not that simple, right? That vote. I'm also erring on yes, because I think that for the very simple reason that this would impose some discipline on the government's fiscal position, because on the surface, it's a no change. Subsidies, you're already spending on that. Just transfer that to earnings. It could be an economic boosting action. But if you spend too much on subsidies or too much on salaries, then you're forced to consider what exactly you're doing. All right, coming up to the 7:30 news. And after that, coming back with more international news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.